Today's Mass is being offered for the repose of the soul of Gilbert Campos and Christy Edwards Bourbon. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today we have the grace of celebrating the feast day of the twin basilicas, of the twin apostles of the Church, the twin apostles of the Church of Rome in particular, Saints Peter and Paul, and the dedication of their basilicas. Some of you have been and visited their basilicas. Others of you who are here have merely seen the images that you've looked, and two of the most finely apportioned basilicas in the entirety of the world. One thing of note that I learned last night as I was praying through the office for this Mass, you may recall that the Church of St. Paul's, outside the walls where the body of St. Paul is laid to rest, was destroyed by a great fire in the latter part, I believe it was the latter part of the 1800s. One of the most dangerous times for the church, for any church in its existence, happens to be, as any Christian archaeologist will tell you, is a time when they are repairing the church. That's when the time the church is most likely to be destroyed. And so such was the case here. They were doing some work upon the roof of the church, and just so happened that somebody left a candle burning overnight, and it tipped over and caused the entirety of the church to be caught up in flames. So it was utterly destroyed. The marble turned to powder, as it were. And so seeing this great basilica destroyed, not only was the whole church in mourning, but the world as well, one of these great, beautiful wonders. And so when they rebuilt it, put it together, many people, even of non-Christian faiths, came together and contributed, wanted to do something to support this this great work that was there. And you can see the remarkable work of it. They built it just as it was before, so that it would be an ancient basilica as though it were brand new. And does anybody know what date on which the church was consecrated? It was consecrated on December the 8th, the year, I believe it was, 1850. What else happened on December the 8th, 1850? That's right, the proclamation once and for all that the church definitively wished to remind the entirety of the world that she believed, and she held it to be a dogma of the faith, that Our Lady was indeed immaculately conceived. Immaculately conceived. The Pope used that day for the dedication of this new basilica, newly put together Basilica of St. Paul, also to announce that beautiful grace of our faith, the triumph of this beginning of this Marian age, which was to be ushered into the church. And so we can think even now that here, as we celebrate these twin basilicas that are being built up together, our Lord does what? He drives out those who are selling things, those who are doing inappropriate things and turning his house into a den of thieves, rather than a house of prayer. What is the church? The church is Our Lady. Our Lady is the church. Anything that you say about Our Lady in specific, you can say in general about the church. And anything you say in general about Christ's body, which is the church, you can say particularly about Our Lady. Or that was to say the same thing. Anything you say particularly about the church, you can say in general about Our Lady. One of those great Marian and ecclesiological principles of the church. Just as Our Lady in particular was immaculately conceived, so was the church in the same way. And these basilicas as well are meant to be houses of prayer. So too, Our Lady is God's house of prayer. And so you and I, who are to be built up into members of this one body of Christ, are to be little houses of prayer, to be bricks of prayer in that great edifice which is Christ and his church, and to give thanks to God for that great work which he has begun and continues to do within us. One of the great documents of the Second Vatican Council teaches us, Sacrosanctum Concilium, about how our Lord is desiring to build up his church into a house of prayer. It quotes saying, "Christ is present in his word, since he is himself who speaks in the Holy Scriptures and are read within the church. He is presented when the church prays and sings, for he promised, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there, present in their midst. Because Christ is always one who associates the church with himself in this great work wherein God is perfectly glorified and men are sanctified. The church is his beloved bride, who calls her Lord and through him offers worship to the eternal Father." It has resonance for us today, for it says where two or three are gathered, and how many more than two or three are gathered here today within this church? God is present in the singing of his song, the proclaiming of his scriptures, the gathering together of those who put their faith and their trust in him. What do we celebrate here within the Mass is the earthly liturgy. And really what this is this Mass, oriented just as it is toward God in this celebration of the Mass, is a foretaste of the heavenly liturgy, which is celebrated in the holy city of Jerusalem, toward which all pilgrims, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, minister of the Holy of Holies in the true tabernacle of God. We sing a hymn of God's glory within this Mass, within his liturgy, as warriors in his heavenly army to proclaim his goodness. And by venerating the memory of the saints, as we do even within this Mass, we glory in God's work of all the warriors of the heavenly army which have fellowship with him. And so we eagerly await, as this liturgy proclaims, the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, that he will come again, he who is our life, appearing in the fullness of his glory, again, which we celebrate in a special way this upcoming Sunday, the Feast of Christ, King of the Universe. And so it is here within this liturgy that you and I all the more are able to accomplish what it is that God has called us to be as his body, his building, his bride, which is his church, celebrating these two basilicas and Our Lady who consecrates the latter thereof. Let's ask our Lord in a particular way to remind us of these realities as we enter into these sacred mysteries celebrated within his church, and asking Our Lady, who is immaculately conceived, to make the church all the more who she is, called to be that immaculate, a spotless bride of Christ, and to preserve her from all the errors which seek to destroy her. Some are trying to rebuild the church now, not in the image of God, but in the image of man. And so that's why this is a particularly difficult time in the church, for at some point, probably another lamp will be left burning, and that will cause a great destruction upon the church. But the Lord knows how to rebuild that which is broken, and build it far greater than before. As it speaks in the Old Testament, the glory of the church which God is bringing, the glory of the temple which God desires to bring, will far outstretch the glory of which it formerly enjoyed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.